Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just finished watching Season 8, Episode 3, titled Episode 70. At least currently, it'll probably be called Battle of Winterfell, I assume. I am super happy because nobody I give a shit about died.
Uh-oh. Strong stance. Strong stance.
I've got a list here of everybody who died.
Uh-huh.
Dolorous Edd.
Yep.
Couldn't care less.
Oof.
About Dolorous Edd. Lady Mormont.
Couldn't care less about Lady Mormont?
No. No. Beric, Jorah, and Theon. The only one who comes
and
close
Melisandre,
here.
Come on.
Oh, right. Also, she somehow died.
Dothraki captain. I don't know his name, but I think he was someone that, you know, had a name and we could recognize
him.
Well,
we can't. If you don't know his name, I don't think we can put him on the list because there are probably thousands of people.
I'm just saying, if we were super fans, we would have had I Heart Jacaro.
What's like
or whatever.
Second in command, Dothraki?
It's the Khaleesimo. You got the Cal, the Khaleesi, and the Khaleesimo. That's the second command.
Conspicuously.
The General Khaleesimo.
Grey Worm is still in the wind.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of lose track in the middle of the battle of Grey Worm.
I'm going to assume that no one... I thought maybe if we had, like a 5 minute of, like, catch our breath and everybody's kind of cheering after the battle, that maybe we'd pan around and see a couple fallen that would be shocking.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't... I will go on record saying I wouldn't like the idea of them coming back next week and we have that 5 minutes and, oh, my God, Grey Worm's dead and...
I don't think he's dead. Okay. I think the little girl in the crypts who wanted to defend them might be dead.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't recall seeing her after the attack. But...
Yeah, everybody that said the Stark's White or Stark's White's coming out of the crypts, give yourself a round of applause because...
It happened.
I didn't think they would do that. Well, I guess I don't know. I don't know what my official stance was.
I think we thought they... certainly I was, like, you know, leaning toward that possibility.
Right.
We sort of discussed, you know, is it possible to bring back just a sack of bones?
It does seem like it's possible. It doesn't matter anymore because the Night King was utterly vanquished this episode. Are you surprised that this had a definitive climax like that?
Yes.
Huh.
A little bit. So... Even though I've been saying all along, like, this is not the real battle, mm-hmm. right? This is mm-hmm. not the climax of the show,
right?
Emotionally and character-wise. I sort of still didn't feel like they were just going to take the Night King out this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Here's the thing. I think that there's a couple points where I thought that the episode is going to do something unconventional or like something that's more fan theory, like when Bran started warging into all of the crows, kroging into all the crows. I'm like, oh, they're going to find out that the Night King's actually bypassing this and going south, like, you know, mm-hmm. this was popularly right. speculated and all that kind of stuff. But no, they never did. Like everything, I felt like this episode is very just by the chalk, as they say in NCAA tournament brackets. That it pretty much what most people expected to happened. And I thought, I'm glad that they ended Night King here because now you've got three more episodes to deal with the things that we're actually emotionally involved invested in. But I got to say, I also am kind of sort of shocked that there wasn't more of a moment for the Night King or like that they essentially die as big bads with, you know, no motivation other than just, I guess, wanting to see the world freeze.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I guess it doesn't matter, you know, if you believe Bran about the Night King's motivation.
Right.
He kind of proved his point.
Yeah. It's funny to see Night King smile. I thought his like grim little after he's like, I'm Dragonfire proof, which that doesn't make. There's a couple things this episode that I didn't think made sense. That was one of them. Drogon just allowing himself to be almost overrun with whites, I thought was kind of like goofy.
Yeah, do we have one dragon now?
No, there's no. If they
do, we have any dragons now?
If
are the dragons off the table?
Drogon's for sure still alive. Because he was cradling, he was cradling Dany, like as she was cradling Jorah.
Okay.
But if they kill off Rhaegal, I'll be like, again, like off-screen deaths on Game of Thrones, no fucking way,
Yeah, Rhaegal crash landed, right?
Yeah,
St. John flying.
Yeah,
and then
but so he had a couple
never showed back up.
He had a couple deep wounds from where he was fighting with undead Viserion, but they didn't look fatal. Like he definitely got some claws in his belly, but
yeah. Speaking of deep wounds, that was pretty amazing when. Rhaegal took that chunk out of Viserion.
Yeah.
And you could see like the fire just kind of leaking out of its neck, the blue flames.
Yeah, in fact, I thought that he had killed the undead dragon.
Yeah.
And so when it showed up later, it's belching flames uncontrollably everywhere. I thought that was really cool. But
it's awesome.
The air-to-air dragon combat was lived up to what I thought it would, because, you know...
Lady Mormont went out with style, like taking out a fucking giant.
That was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it coming a mile away, but still, yeah. Yeah, Luke Skywalker'd that AT-AT walker, except for Luke lived.
Right.
She Hobbs'd that AT-AT walker.
Yeah, she Luke did not get every single bone in his body crushed into dust.
That's right.
I thought the process.
There's a couple of like really a couple of things that annoyed me was like technically, because this was a very dark and intentionally so shot episode, and our Bald Move TV is muddy as fuck. We tried to mess with it a little bit in the first 5 minutes, but like, and we got a little bit better, but it was really hard to see when everything was like shrouded in fog, or like as the whole entire battle was. And that combined with last week, I felt like I didn't understand the plan well enough to know like which fallback point was like the one where shit got real. Like, when are the families going to be in danger? When are they?
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, there was definitely an ebb and flow in the battle, but I wasn't quite sure who was winning, who was losing.
Yeah, at some point they cut away. So the armies of the dead breach the wall, and then everybody kind of retreats a little bit behind these other, you know, enforcements that they've got.
Yeah.
And then we kind of cut away from the main battle for a long time.
Yeah.
And we go to the library with Arya
through
and the
Winterfell,
Hound.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of lost track, and it seems like at the end of this, they were on the verge of just complete loss, right? Like,
right.
I don't know if there are more than a handful of people left.
And there was a shit ton of dead. That's
and
the thing
all
surprised
important.
Me.
They're all the ones I care about.
That was the other thing that kind of surprised me, is that the Night King would have to, like, do the hand raise, because I thought a lot of people were speculating that, you know, the dead would kill the living, and then the living would just, like, fall to the ground, and 5-6 seconds later, blue eyes come back. I thought that was actually happening.
Yeah, apparently not.
But it's clear that the humanity is going to be fucking screwed. It's also very clear that there's not much left, I think, of the Army of the Living.
I mean, the Dothraki are completely gone.
It seems like,
from what I can tell about. The Unsullied are completely gone.
Yeah.
I don't know that they have anybody left except for the main characters.
Yeah, you got the main... I mean, there's going to be a few thousand.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing that can... But then again, if Dany has one dragon, for sure, she has two dragons, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see how good a shot Qyburn is with the whatever that giant crossbow thing is.
I was super worried when the Night King took another shot at Dany on the dragon with the spear.
Yeah.
Because he's a pretty good shot.
Yeah. I got distracted on my whole like bitching about the TV thing, but there's a couple things even with our technical difficulties that stood out as like really cool moments in battle I've never seen before, like that charge of the Light Brigade, where Melisandre sets everybody's swords on fire and they go screaming and you can kind of follow it. And then as you're looking from the commander's vantage point, these points of light start going out.
Yeah.
It's just really fucking cool and ominous. I really like the organized retreating of the Unsullied. Like, just how clockwork it is. Like, they were taking a step back and a step in, and then innermost ranks were... just like running, you know, a full speed retreat. And we'd said something about like, you know, what is the military purpose of being able to do like this? You know, like in Batman Begins, Ra's al Ghul is like having all of his ninjas like reconfigure themselves like some 3D escape room corridors. Like, what's the point of having this military drill? Well, here it is. Like, they're essentially a living impenetrable wall that's collapsing from within. I thought that was a really cool... of all the giant battles I've seen in Hollywood, I've never seen anything quite like that.
And this is maybe... I don't even know if I have to qualify this. I think this is the longest battle I've ever seen.
I mean, it's well over
an hour. It's over an hour. Yeah.
Well over an hour.
It was the entire episode, save like a couple of minutes at the front.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is just, you know, building the tension, right?
Yeah, I mean...
They did a great job with that.
I'm thinking there's, like, a couple, like, you know, Saving Private Ryan, A Band of Brothers, and some war films that probably have scenes that, like... Like, I don't think the first...
Not a single battle that lasts an hour, but maybe there's an hour of total battle time.
The first 40 minutes of Saving Private Ryan's a battle, and probably the last 40 minutes
Okay.
But
and it's a pretty long movie, too.
Yeah, but like this, like, one continuous kind of battle stick with... and I also, if you throw in television, yeah, there's nothing nothing that competes with that.
Except for maybe Band of Brothers.
Except for maybe, yep.
I don't know.
Also HBO product.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
I thought there's other couple things that surprised me is I thought that like Sansa and Tyrion would have more of a heroic moment. Because I guess like the heroic moment was them deciding to go out.
They're gearing up for it.
Like, I wish I could have seen a couple more, you know, like a little bit more heroics, or because it just seemed like the whites were having their way down there in the crypts, man. Like when Tyrion and Sansa were huddling behind that thing, it was just white screaming and women and children dying. It was some grim shit.
Yeah, I don't know if they had a weapon between them other than Sansa's little dagger thing.
Yeah. I also, like, there's a couple things I thought that might happen. Like, Melisandre, when she's wandering off and taking off her collar, I thought she was going to go and, like, resurrect Jorah or some cheesy shit like
that. No, I fucking knew she was going to she was gonna walk out in the snow and she was going to take her fucking clothes off, because that's what she does.
Yeah.
Melisandre was not going to die with clothes on. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she only made it to half naked.
She got him off enough.
Right.
But Lord of Light is appeased.
I thought that was kind of cool, her taking off her glamoring gym and dying as an old woman as like,
why did she do that? Her prophecy is fulfilled, like she has no more use on this earth.
I think you're supposed to understand that like what she said about Beric is the same about her, that like the Lord of Light has kept her alive for a purpose and that purpose is done now.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, no need. And she's done a lot of heinous shit, you know, in the service of her lord, and by getting some of the things made, you know, it'll be interesting to see in the books, because like I could see if we had more of her interior dialogue, there could be like a tragic figure that like, you know, she's only tried to do light, but maybe she got a little over enthusiastic and some of the things that she was trying to do is like forcing things rather than going with the flow. And I think you can see some of these sacrifices, and especially in the show Shireen, you're supposed to understand that was a moment of her getting ahead of herself, because you know, and so yeah, I think she's kind of like a Moses figure, that she's very pivotal into freeing the people and seeing them into the promised land, but
and then
it's
Moses
not for her.
Walked off, took his robes off, and died.
Yeah. Just like that's straight out of Exodus, people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
21:7.
Yeah, and lo, Moses bared the rod.
He thrust
and aged
his staff
a million
in
years in but a second, and the Lord laughed.
I'm a little disappointed
Yes.
That we didn't get to see an undead Stannis. I feel like that's a little bit of a miss. Like,
well, we
have
were
him attack
that,
Davos.
Hodor. There was really no, like, gut-wrenching. There's no Lady Stark. There was no nothing, really.
What are you doing?
No grin.
Why not?
I don't know.
At least one of them.
I don't know. I don't, like Arya, there are people speculated, like, what could terrify her is, like, 50 screaming zombies
coming for her.
Yeah, but
that terrifies everybody. That's personally terrifying.
No, it wasn't.
That's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Stannis comes after, you know, Brienne or like I said, Davos. It'd be good. But
the one moment that they absolutely had the nail, I think, is Arya coming for the Night King. And
so good.
When she jumped and he, like, caught her midair, that was, I thought, and then her doing the you know, daggers drop and stab, that was perfect because it gave you just a little bit of, like, okay, what the fuck then? If not this, what?
Right.
John's finally going to too late stab this fucking dragon. And but yeah, like the fact that it did feel a little prophetic, and you know, her shutting what, you know, you're going to shut
the blue eyes,
green eyes and brown eyes and blue, and she had the Valyrian steel dagger. That I thought that the way that worked out, and him bursting into ice and everybody dying in kind of a concentric ring was pretty cool. And also,
yeah,
like, it had to happen because, as you said, the Butcher Bill is pretty light. You know, I know Jorah's got his fans and...
absolutely. But where's Tormund? Is Tormund dead?
I don't think Tormund's dead, no.
We lost track of him and Grey Worm.
Yeah. I just think you... like, because the last time I saw him, they're fighting. Just like Brienne, just like Jaime, just like Pod, just like Sam. Like, Sam was still breathing. And this isn't Walking Dead rules. Like, if you didn't get a scratch or a nick or a good solid bite, you're not turning.
Yeah.
You just have to keep the blood pumping through your veins to...
Right.
Well, no one's turning at this point. So, like, I think that everyone we saw last alive is going to be alive. Because it's going to feel like a fucking... I just think it's going to be a what the fuck if the first 5 minutes is spent like, oh, guess what? Tormund died. And guess what? Sam didn't make it through. And you know what? Also, Grey Worm lost his other nipple.
Yeah.
Died. It turns out that... please don't send me. I know that he wasn't the guy that got his nipple cut off. But can you prove it wasn't?
Can you prove he has both his nipples still?
I thought Theon was as much fun as I made of him, the Ironborn, like that kind of last stand was really cool. I thought a lot of people did. The Boromir routine from Lord of the Rings. There was Jorah, Theon. Everybody was pincushioning up for those last minute heroics.
Yep. If Ned Stark had been there, he would have, for sure.
There's so many of the fan theories I thought were on the table. Like, when Bran unwarged to give that speech to Theon, I'm like, oh, shit, the What Is Dead Man Never Die is going to happen. The Night King's going to stab him, and then Bran's going to hit him with the Obsidian Dagger, and he's going to turn into, like, a fucking Cold Hands and just become a giant badass, but...
No sign of Benjen. Benjen didn't come and save the day.
When, you know, the guy riding... when Melisandre rode up onto the battlefield, I thought that might be Benjen.
Yeah. I kind of recognize the shape, the general shape of Melisandre in a huge flowing robe.
I didn't expect it because it also seemed like, I thought they did a piss poor job of showing the direction because it seemed like she came out of the ranks of the dead.
Yeah.
There's a language of cinema
I'm hoping
you can,
it's like they she came from the east, maybe.
Yeah, but like that's not what they told us. Like all of the forces were facing this one direction and she came in facing. So like, was Jorah leading the flank army that we never saw? I don't know.
I'm seriously curious about what the hell Bran was doing this entire time. Cause he makes it clear. Like he wargs in all these ravens and they take off. And what is he actually doing?
I don't. Is that like setting like an infrared beaker for the Night's King to home in on? Because it's,
I honestly could not tell you.
Like he spent the whole time warging just so the Night King would be hot for him.
Maybe
is that the green green seer version of shaking your ass and keeping him.
Big
boy.
They don't pay it off.
Yeah.
In this episode, so I'm assuming. In, you know, the next episode or something, we'll figure out what he was actually doing during the battle. Like saying, oh, yeah, now our major fight is done here, but also I don't know.
I don't think he's going to. I think Bran's going to smear a bunch of blood on his face and like start breathing heavy when people came in. It's like, oh, I fought him off to the last man. Like, take all of Theon's credit. Yeah.
I don't know if Arya's going to stand for that.
Well, but who saw it? Who saw it besides Bran?
I think
Bran.
Maybe Arya.
Maybe Arya. She was
Although they
from
are
the shadows.
The Starks stick together.
Yeah.
The Starks all. They're a family after all.
Yeah.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. Featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations, while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
But I don't know. Like, I thought I'm actually shocked that one of Brienne or Jaime
or Pod
or even Tormund didn't die in this episode. Or Grey, like in even lesser extent, Grey Worm. I'm actually kind of like, once the crypt breached, I'm like, well, okay, one of Tyrion or Sansa or Varys, probably Varys is going to die. I thought we got off pretty light.
We did. Absolutely we did.
Do you think that
I was prepping people last episode, like, you're going to lose a lot of people you love.
Yeah.
And nobody lost anybody they love.
Is
so
that a
that's
flaw?
Excellent.
Is that a flaw, though? Because I feel like...
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know, because in future episodes, of course, you got, what, three more, and they're all kind of this long, except for maybe the last one?
No, I think they're all this long, roughly.
So, because I was like, man, they left so many people alive that giving them all a moment is going to be kind of tough, you know?
And they left a lot of theories on the table, you know, like the Clegane Bowl is still on the table.
Oh, sure.
There's still this whole mess. We kind of knew that Jon and Dany, neither of them could die because they have to sort this mess about, oh, I'm king, no, I'm queen stuff out. So that's still, you know, up in the air.
Okay. Can we also agree that if they don't have any new perspective on that battle, that like, this is fucked? Like, they fought a desperate battle side by side, dragon to dragon. They both saved each other a couple times. Like, if they come back to like, okay, now let's figure out who's got the strongest claim and are going to be belligerent about it, that'd be really fucked up, man.
Maybe it'll go the other way. Maybe it'll be like, okay, after seeing that, You're definitely the king.
Any survivor.
No. You're the queen.
Yeah. Or like it's like, yeah, anyone that comes out of this battle that's going to be pissed off either direction, I feel like is like, what are you going to say to these people?
I mean, this was a unanimous victory. This was an all around win for the living.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, for sure. I just don't know what they're going to do about Cersei.
Yeah. Is it weird to say it kind of doesn't matter now? Because they fought the battle that really matters and won it.
Well, but if Cersei wins the rule over the Seven Kingdoms, that will feel like that's not a bittersweet ending.
Yeah, but what kind of dynasty is she going to have? No dynasty. No dynasty.
No dynasty haver is she.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The real like threat here was that everyone would die.
Yeah, yeah, no. The realms of men are guarded.
And so they're saved.
Yeah.
Now they're saved.
And also,
it might turn out a little bit shitty because Cersei might be on the throne, but it's going to turn out all right.
Yeah. But I think there's also a lot of deaths of theories. Number one, like, we had a theory that, like, some of this footage is going to be from the later Battle of King's Landing. Utterly dead. Every single frame from the trailer has now been accounted for.
Oh, I walked that back last episode after seeing...
I was still repping it.
The Merlins. Yeah.
But I... shit, man, I completely got derailed.
we definitely have a Battle of King's Landing coming
up.
Oh,
no, there's a couple other... Yeah, like, there's people like, oh, will this be a cyclical thing with the Night King? That he's like, you know, he can never be truly vanquished.
Back,
yeah. I mean...
That could be what Bran's about to say.
If he comes back, it's going to be not the same Ice King that we've seen the whole time, which I feel like that's the story they told us. Like, that guy who got lashed through the tree and turned into the Night King is the same Night King that strode the battlefield today.
For sure.
So I feel like that theory is on life support unless Bran immediately says, nope, we just got another 10,000 years. We got to kill Cersei and build the wall. And
yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
But he's utterly seems vanquished. All of his lieutenants, cause they all, we all saw them burst into the glass and all the whites cut. It's over. It's over.
That was a great episode, right?
Yeah.
Like I've never really seen anything like it. Miguel Sapochnik did an amazing job directing this, just as he had in previous episodes where there were big battles. But this was kind of the mother of all battles, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to go home and see it on my TV that has much better black levels, because I think I will be even more impressed with what I'm seeing once I do that, because a lot of the battle was fast-paced action.
Yeah.
The zombies were fucking terrifying. Uh-huh. Like, we were saying, like, how does anyone survive those front lines? Like, they were breaking over the forces of the living like waves.
Yeah,
that was super cool. In the full podcast, I'll probably talk about some of the, like, I thought weird military blunders. Like, for example, Dany getting, like, why was Dany? There was like shots of her setting the rear flanks of the enemy on fire when they're trying to find anyone to light this torch.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, can she not? I mean, I know that they're trying to tell the story. I thought that her and John slamming into each other, head-on dragon collision, and they're just holding. Mind you, they're only holding on with like the two horns.
How did they not fall off?
They needed. I feel like they needed some dragon saddles for that to be as ridiculous as it was. But
sure, and it makes the characters look. I mean, it's a really dumb thing to happen.
Yeah,
but it's something that could totally happen in
it
that
could,
scenario,
I know,
right?
But look. There's a lot of sky. I know there's no dragon air traffic controllers. This isn't like Breaking Bad where John DeLancey was just having a bad day at the top, but like, there's a lot of sky.
Yeah, they're all probably heading toward like a general glow, maybe.
Maybe.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I kind of see a Winterfell battle happening. Maybe had that. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. But also, there's a couple things. Maybe there was actually something to explain that, and it was just all a blur of muddy, gray frost smoke imagery. But
our TV sucks, everybody.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say before?
No, I think I'm good. That's the instant take portion of this for tonight.
So this is the part of the instant take or instant take podcast where we turn it into instant talk. And we are now going to take some live questions from our viewers on the YouTube chat's functionality. If you'd like to get into this bald move, innovate, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. If you'd like to get into this instant talk, you've got to be a club member, club.baldmove.com. And guess what? It's 25% off annual memberships right now because of Game of Thrones, club.baldmove.com.